Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and it's going to be a good one, huh, Stone?
Hey, I've been looking forward to this segment ever since the holidays. A little bit later in the program, we are going to have back in the studio with us Ms. Nancy Corpenning. She's founder and managing director for C-Suite Advisors. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this afternoon, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the director of marketing for Sales Loft. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Ms. Tammy McQueen. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Stone. Such a pleasure to be here this afternoon.
Well, Sales Loft, you've been in Atlanta for a while now, but you got some big news, huh?
Absolutely. We have seen a tremendous growth from where we were last year this time. And I think it's such a great idea when you kick off the year in 2015 to see how far we've come and where we are taking Sales Loft this year. To give you a bit of a highlight reel, I shared with Stone a little bit earlier that I wanted to give you a bit of a recap of what Sales Loft has been doing.
Yeah, why don't you start with first, what are you guys about?
Yeah, so we are the easiest and fastest way on the internet to build a list of prospects. We use a Google Chrome extension, and you can search by industry, title, and location for your prospects. It is the application of record for your sales development team, and we truly believe that the sales development team is the biggest innovation to happen to the sales process in the past decade.
So now, how were people doing it before Sales Loft?
They were scouring the internet and copying and pasting names from whatever site they could get their hands on, and then searching through Google for these email addresses of their prospects.
So now I use Sales Loft. I go online. I get the extension in my, is it only Chrome or in all the browsers?
It is a Chrome extension.
So I go to Chrome, go get that extension, and then now I type in.
Correct. Like, so for example, you would look for a search of VPs of sales in Atlanta for a SaaS, software as a service companies. And you will get a list on Google of all these names, and you can then import their email addresses into a CRM specifically integrated with Salesforce.com.
So this is made for Salesforce?
It is not made specifically for Salesforce. It does have a direct integration. However, you can use a download of a CSV file as well.
Cool. So now you mentioned that you guys got some highlights you want to share?
Absolutely. So last year, this time, we had 4 employees, and we're now at 40.
Wow.
So that's 700% growth, which is really exciting. And then last year, we also started the year off just shy of $200,000 in annual recurring revenue. Mm-hmm. We closed out Q4 with $4.6 million. So
wow.
That is a 2,200% increase.
So now what turned the corner for you guys?
What, as I mentioned, with the application of record for the sales development team, is we really believe in the art of specialization of the sales process. What we have done is taken sales development who focus primarily on prospecting leads and your account executives who focus on closing the deals. And it's
So you've kind of separated them.
We have separated them, yes.
So previously it was the same person, right? And they'd get hung up on all the admin part of just searching?
Everything. They were searching.
Right.
They were finding these people. They were reaching out. They were setting a demo. And they were trying to close the lead as well.
So this one individual.
One individual is typically doing that in your traditional sales organization.
So you kind of shook that
turned
up a little
bit. Turned it on its head and really introduce the art of specialization. Not only does this decrease the time people are spent on prospecting, but it really maximizes their focus on channeling the right leads at the right time.
So, but now somebody's job is just the prospecting end. They're,
yes.
They're just plugging names into the Google Chrome extension
exactly.
Using Sales Loft, right?
Exactly. And then what they do is we had this idea of, okay, so you've prospected all these leads. Now, what do you do with them?
Right. So now I've got this long list.
You've got this long list.
Now
what do you do with them? And that's where Sales Loft Cadence comes into it. We released the new product, took it to market in October of last year, and this solves the problem of what you do with all the prospects.
So what do you do with them?
And it is putting them into a rhythm and a cadence, and that allows you to set a type of outreach program for whether you want to send on the first day an email, second day you want to leave a voicemail and an email, and it's how many touches over a 7-day process or however long that cadence is. And it allows you to set and increase appointments by about 200 to 300%.
So you recommend some combination of email and voicemail?
Absolutely, yes.
So you need to have somebody that's on the phone as well as somebody sending, or the
that's
or
the same person. That's your sales development rep, typically. Yes.
So you have a prospecting person, you have a sales development person.
That's the same person.
One person.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then what about the closer?
The closer. That's a separate. So that's once a separate you get person. That demo set, we put them with a closer who is a prospecting expert, and we pass them on to them.
So you need two people now.
Two people.
And one person is kind of pre-sale and one person is sale forward?
Exactly.
And then once a sale happens, you get to a third person that's the manager of the account?
Yes, we send them off to our client success team, which is our client advocate team. And we like to say we drink our own Kool-Aid and that we use our own products. And what we do with our client success team is they are everything from onboarding a new client to sharing how the best practices work for their specific industry and how they can best maximize the product.
So now, like you said, you guys use the same situation. So for you, are you looking for that same person, that VP of sales or the,
exactly.
or the CMO?
Exactly, that's our target market.
It's CMO or somebody
CMO,
in marketing?
CMO, VP of sales. Director of sales.
So now you have, okay, once you've identified them, then you have some outbound email like, hey, here's a tip or here's some white paper.
Exactly. Yeah, we have our own cadence that we send out. And we have, it's twofold for Sales Loft. Number one is our outbound prospecting with our sales development team. Secondly is our marketing team who does all inbound reach, which is independent of the sales development team. We focus on content marketing, thought leadership. We want to be the go-to source in the sales development industry. That's producing blogs, white papers, ebooks.
So you're creating a lot of content yourself.
That provides value to the audience that we are reaching out to. And I like to give the analogy that we want to be a vitamin rather than a pain reliever. Mm-hmm. It's a daily need for it, not just when you have an issue.
Right, but in the real world, most people take pain relievers, not vitamins.
Well, I don't know who you're hanging out with.
But so you're creating a lot of this thought leadership. Now, is that just your internal staff? Like this is just Kyle being smart on top of a mountain?
That, you know, that's everything we need from Kyle is trying to get inside his brain and get all that info out. But we have a team on the marketing side that is working consistently on producing top content and consistently putting out great valuable pieces for the community.
Now, is that a challenge for you? Because I'm sure for some of your clients, you know, it sounds great. Like, oh, yeah, we have the system. We just need content. And now some young person is charged with getting this content out of the brain of some older person, C-level person. Isn't that a challenge for some companies?
I think it can definitely be a challenge, but it's looking at what does the buyer need? What does the user need? What problems are they facing in the industry that we can provide value to? And none of our content that we produce is salesy. We're not trying to push Sales Loft. We're not trying to...
You're just trying to educate them.
We're trying to educate them and instill the process of sales development or how prospecting can better be used in an outbound
process. Right, and best practices.
Best practices.
And research,
videos,
right.
Research. We do a lot of guest posts. We are a guest on Salesforce.com, Forbes, Saster. And we really collaborate with a lot of leaders in the industry as well.
To get their story about how they're solving on this problem, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Because you want to be the person that they go to get that information.
Right.
So you're out there trying to find it.
Exactly.
So what is your backstory personally? How did you get involved in this kind of work?
My backstory, I have been in marketing throughout my career. And I joined Sales Loft in about the early summer last year and reached out through Kyle on LinkedIn specifically and dove into the marketing team and led the team to different heights on content as well as SEO. We're focusing on social media as well. And it has just been a passion to see how getting comfortable in a very uncomfortable situation, how startups are very dynamic in the market. A SaaS company is changing very quickly. It's moving fast. And finding ways to provide value in a market that is moving very, very quickly.
Now, were you here in America when you found the sales loft?
Yes. I have been in the U.S. for 12 years. Backstory, I was recruited to play tennis in college, went to grad school.
In what college?
Murray State University. Go Racers. And moved to Dallas, Texas for a short while, and then Atlanta. So I like to call Atlanta my home.
So when you were here in Atlanta, were you working in marketing for other firms?
Yes, I was.
And that's where you found Kyle?
Yes.
So now, how did you leverage LinkedIn? Any tips for somebody that's looking for a job to leverage LinkedIn?
Absolutely. You have to be active on LinkedIn, get involved in groups, find groups that specifically are around your area of expertise. I would recommend a professional photo. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen a selfie on LinkedIn or a prom photo or a wedding
prom
picture.
Prom photo, really?
Exactly. Get a professional headshot. It is well worth its weight. Well, and you want to be able to have a clear, distinct message, what your outlook is, what you are looking for, and share some stories, what you've done. Be a quantitative approach to LinkedIn. Give stats. I increased sales by 60% over the course of 2014. Give some quantitative results as well.
Beyond just, I throw the best parties.
Should you lead with that? Because culture is important in a startup.
That's right. No,
very important.
I want to ask about startups because you mentioned that earlier. Does this service really lend itself to startups? Can they afford to utilize a service like this?
Yeah, absolutely. This product is something that a startup can use, to an SMB, to an enterprise company as well. There's different levels of applications for that you can use it, different pricing models, and it is a great opportunity for whether you're a one-man show or you're leading a Fortune 500.
Now, I want to talk about the culture, because going from 4 to 40 is dramatic in a lot of ways, and how did you guys manage that?
It is huge, and I'm so glad you brought up the culture aspect, because this is something that we hold so true to our values, and our core values we've incorporated is to be positive, supportive, and self-starting. And when we go into the hiring process, we look at folks who can punch above their weight class and are in the top 1% of folks who attribute those core values to their life. And our hiring process is very rigorous in that we hire for those core values. We want, and it's understandably, David Cummings shared the quote that culture is the only aspect of the business that you have complete control over. And so it goes beyond moving to a point where you're just filling seats. And it's really taking the time to fill those seats and to add team players who can contribute to the business, the growth, and the culture as well.
So now you're the director of marketing. What are you looking for in a marketer?
Looking for someone who's a team player, who is positive, who is ready to do whatever it takes to see success and to support each other and to really not be afraid to take risks. We want to go one step ahead, take a risk, be bold, and not follow what has always been done. Oh, it's always been done that way. Well, we'll do it again. That's not the case. This market is moving far too quickly, and we're going to get left behind if we do that.
Can you share an example where you were able to do that, that maybe you took a risk that hadn't been done at Sales Loft before?
Yeah, this may not have been done anywhere before, but we went to Dreamforce last year, the biggest SaaS conference of the year, and we impersonated Mark Benioff, Salesforce CEO. I'm telling you, we were sitting there, we were going to be first-time sponsors, and we said, well, what swag are we going to give out? We're going to give out battery chargers? Are we going to give out pens, mints? What are we going to do? That's not going to cut through the clutter of 130,000 people. And we thought, well, we need to come up with something. We sat around, Carl and I, we came up with the idea that we needed to impersonate a celebrity. And it was going to be Mark Benioff. Put out an ad on Craigslist for a Mark Benioff impersonator. Got all sorts of responses from agents. They were like, well, you know, don't know about Mark Benioff. There's hundreds of Elvises out there. We can help you with that. Anyway, we got a guy, Cam Melson. He's a VP of sales here in Atlanta. And took him with. He's a spitting image of Mark Benioff. Put him on the plane to San Francisco. Headed out to Hobby Lobby and bought a pair of Converse shoes and put glitter on them like the Salesforce cloud. And off we went to San Francisco. We had no idea what we were going to do when we got there, but we knew we were going to make a splash. Eventually, we got him all decked out in a pinstripe signature Mark Benioff suit, got him a hat, and we got a little earphone and we wound it up so it was curly, stuck it in our ear so it looked like an earpiece. And we got our VP of sales to dress up in a total security men in black suit, and we were ready to go. And we took to the crowds and we're pushing our way. We took photos at different areas, philanthropy booths, and said hello to sponsors. And all this time we were taking photos and posting it on social media as well. First day turns out great. Second day, we're walking around and we walk smack dab into Mark Benioff on a radio show. We're like, oh man, it's ruined. And all his people were sort of taking us out the way. And we thought, well, what are we going to do? And walked around for a little bit more and decided to go back to our trade show booth. And we saw Mark again with all his folks and his press and his agents. And they said, do not come any closer. We know who you are and we know what you're doing. I was like, yes, this is awesome. I was like, we've got to talk to him. We've got to do something. If we get kicked out, that's great. That's exactly what we need. And got him to walk past sales off booth, meet everyone at the booth and introduced ourselves. And he said, thanks. I know what you're doing. I saw your Craigslist ad. Thanks for taking a weight off my shoulders and for your press and PR interviews over the past 2 days. And we got our photo made. You know, he retweeted it, shared it on Twitter. And that was pretty bold.
And that helped you achieve your goal for the trade show being
noticed and remembered, right? It did. It got us a lot of branding, a lot of word of mouth.
And then it kind of, I don't know if it was the inspiration, but it was definitely part of the being the catalyst of starting your own conference, right?
Absolutely. You know, we really wanted to make a splash for the new year, 2015, kick it off.
So you have a new conference starting up?
We do. We have Rainmaker, and that is going to be held on the 13th and 14th, which is next week. And it is the.
I have a Craigslist ad right now.
You have a Craigslist ad?
For Kyle Porter lookalike.
That's awesome. And it's the first ever conference for the sales development industry. Really excited about it. We've got some great leaders coming on. Steve Richard, Craig Rosenberg, Trish Bertuzzi. Some real influencers and great sponsors in the Atlanta startup community as well that we're partnering with. Really excited about it. On the first day, on Tuesday, we'll have a workshop in the Atlanta Tech Village. Wednesday, we're going to be at the W Hotel in Buckhead, and that's going to be the full day event. And I'd love to share a registration promo code with listeners.
Sure.
If they go to www.sdrsummit.com, that's where they can register. And we have a promo code, which is SalesLoftATL, which is SalesLoftATL, and that will give you 30% discount.
And then, so it's a 1 day or a day and a half total?
It's a day and a half total.
And then this gives you access to both sessions?
Correct.
And then, so now who should go? What, this is all VPs of marketing, the CMOs, who should attend
it
this
It is
event?
Your VPs of sales, sales leaders, sales influencers. It's really geared toward the sales development, business development leaders.
So business development. Now, is this a B2B or B2C or does it work in both?
It is B2B.
So it's primarily B2B.
Mm-hmm.
And so so if you have a business that's selling to other businesses, this is a definitely great way to start your year, huh?
By going to this event. Absolutely, 100%.
So I want to dive back. I know we need to wrap up here in a moment. We're going to get a chance to visit with Nancy. But I want to dive back into structuring the sales organization, because this idea of having a sales development professional and distinguishing that from the account executive role, can you talk about that a little bit more? And specifically, for those of us who might find ourselves in a situation where we need to recruit and develop those two different roles, I don't know, mistakes you've run into, some definite do's or definite don'ts you've run into in your tenure for that?
Yeah, it's definitely something that is really important as you are growing a sales team, or whether you're scaling it or keeping it where it is, to know what your goals are. You need to be able to provide the team, your sales development team, actionable goals that can be measured and that they are held accountable for. So their goals cannot be dependent upon how many deals are closed, but rather how many demos are set. For example, hire someone, and when you're growing your team, as you would have a sales development rep, business development rep, who is measured on how many demos they are set per quarter. And then your accounts executives are measured on how many deals are closed, how much sales revenue that they are bringing in each quarter. So those two goals are independent of each other. But to be able to have that closed revenue, you have to have X number of demos set, which then goes back into the outbound and your inbound. How many inbound leads are generated to be able to go to your SDR team, sales development reps, to set that amount of demos? Now, you may think, okay, you need one SDR for every account exec. Typically, what we have, it's a 2-to-1 ratio. So we'll have two SDRs for one account executive. And that works best in the organization that we have set up. So it's 3-to-2, 2-to-1. You're going to have two sales development reps for every closer you have.
Now, do you also incent the account manager in order for retaining the business?
Yes, we have a setup where they retain and they also upsell as well. So whether you come in as a baseline package and whether they increase it, they have an incredible job. They do such excellent work in working with our clients that they are there to make the customer happy, successful, and in their business. That's all that they want to see.
Right.
And the support is tremendous that they are on it.
Because, I mean, in the life cycle of a customer, a lot of energy is placed on getting the customer. But once they're a customer, now the most amount of time is spent with the account manager.
Yes,
because
it
they
is.
Could be with them for years.
It is.
You know, where the salespeople are only with them for mm-hmm. a short period of time relative to the amount of time they're with the organization.
Right. And we have that broken up as well with specialization in terms of our support.
Mm-hmm.
We have a support team, and then we have advocates, client advocates and success managers who are going to work with you and help the account. What do you need? How can we onboard you better? How can we get you up and running and ensure your success?
Are you monitoring the actual use?
Yes.
So that if you can see, like, hey, this they're not using it enough,
exactly.
or they're not using it properly, somebody has to intervene
Ping
here.
Out. Yes,
and
they
then
do.
Check in to make sure that. Are they frustrated by something, or they got somebody else's in charge and now...
Right, an email might say, hey, we see that you haven't logged in, or how can we help you? You may have only prospected once or twice this week. How can we help you maximize the use of the
right.
product? And, you know, is there something else we can show you that you might be missing out on?
Because you want to elevate your relationship to where this isn't just a commodity and a
it's
vendor,
not
that
at
where
all.
You're a partner trying to help them achieve their goals.
And I think that's where the missing link is with sales so much, is that you're selling relationships. It's about that engagement and that relationship that is continuing through the lifespan of the entire product.
Right. And it's not just when that guy rings the bell that he sold one.
No,
right?
Not at all. Exactly. It's a whole nother process. And then with marketing as well, what we do is we're sharing a lot. Once an ebook is released, we'll share it with them. We'll share them promo codes to the conference. Hey, you're a client of ours. We are friends and family, and we want to share new releases. If an ebook or a white paper releases, they're the first to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the source of how we build our product. Our engineering team rests so heavily on customer feedback that has been the success of both products.
Now, how do you incent the customer to refer back to you, or do you not?
We do. We have a referral form as well.
So then the customer can actually, you know, there's incentive to tell other people, like, hey, this is
right.
What
mm-hmm.
Well, and I'll tell you what, they're going to be incented just by the behavior that you're describing, because as logical as that whole conversation sounds, I got to tell you, and I know Nancy will back this up in her conversation in a little while, so many times we have such a large number of our clients are at risk and we don't even realize it.
Absolutely. It's that inactivity that's most risky.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And I think the emphasis on cross-selling, upselling, all that's very important. In fact, would you like to buy another water to enjoy while we visit with Nancy?
I'm off to the candy. You promised me candy.
Oh, that's right. And you did do a fantastic job. Now, what a marvelous conversation, an important conversation. I hope you'll come back with us and continue. And it may be a little quick for this one, but the next time you guys are all getting together and having a group of people converge like you are in a couple of weeks, let's go on site and do some stuff and have some of these conversations on site. I think it could be fun.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, so please do.
Still time, back. Not too late, 10 days.
Well, there you go. So maybe just, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio
this afternoon.
I want to make sure that our listeners have your coordinates. So what is the best way for them to reach out, have a conversation with you or someone on your team?
Right. I can be reached on Twitter. We always available, which is @SalesLoft. And then you can reach out directly to me. I am Tammy, T-A-M-I, @salesloft.com. And I'd be happy to put you in touch with the area that you need to be with.
And for that conference, is there a website for the conference?
Yes, www.sdrsummit.com.
All right. Fantastic. How about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
I'd love to.
Terrific. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, as previously advertised, and we always live up to our commitments, don't we, Lee? Back in the studio, we have with us founder and managing director with C-Suite Advisors, Miss Nancy Corpenning. How you doing, Sunshine?
I'm doing just great. How about you? Happy New Year.
You're always a lot of fun to have in the studio. But I could tell you were specifically finding genuine value out of that last conversation.
Absolutely. I work with business owners, and so hearing so many things that SalesLoft has done and is doing really, really well. I remember when Kyle first started SalesLoft, and he had to be very nimble to modify the business product and the business model. And I know that he got some great investments and that has allowed him to scale. And scaling is so important, and it's so hard to do. That is one of the toughest transitions to make in a new business. And it's just really fun to see such a great startup doing so well. So
thanks,
congratulations
Nancy.
To all of
Thank you.
It's really neat. And to be talking about metrics with your clients, because that's something else, at least particularly in the smaller business community. A lot of business owners, if they are not coming from a sales and marketing background, don't realize how critically important metrics are in everything you do in business.
Well, if you're not assessing, you're guessing.
Exactly. Exactly.
He tries to work that into every broadcast.
Every broadcast? Well, I'm delighted to create that.
That was
opening.
Tweet worthy.
That's a tweet.
Come on, Tammy. Tweet it out for us while we're working on it.
Throw
us
a crumb. Here we go.
So now you, what's your specialty?
My specialty is working with business owners, particularly women entrepreneurs whose businesses are who they're trying to scale their business.
Uh-huh.
So they've survived that startup.
Right.
And now
somebody's wrote them a check. Somebody bought something from them. Right?
Somebody has bought something.
That's encouraging.
They actually have a product.
Uh-huh.
They have an audience and they want to grow and they want to scale the business. And all of a sudden, the issues are a lot more in quantity and a lot more complicated, and it requires looking at things differently, and mm-hmm. it may require making some changes, much as Kyle did,
right?
Or it may mean just considering farther down the road and how you're going to do grow to the point where you want to grow.
So now, how does that entrepreneur know it's time to engage with you? Do they ring a bell? Like, how did something happen?
The Nancy bell.
It's generally feeling like you're tipping into overwhelm,
uh-huh.
and you don't know which issue to look at first. There are so many.
It's like you're almost paralyzed.
Yeah, because there's so many. Everything feels like a high priority.
Right.
And that's never the case. Right. And sometimes you just need somebody to hold the mirror up to right. you and say, this is what mm-hmm. I'm seeing. And you said you wanted to go over there and you're doing this. So do you want to think about maybe reprioritizing here and understanding too what is the owner's highest and best good? I see so many business owners struggling, whether it is struggling with accounting or struggling with sales and marketing, when that's not what they do best.
Right.
And so one of the things my clients have told me over the years that they really appreciate is I help them understand when and how to hire an expert and to outsource some of those things, particularly at that critical point in their business life cycle.
Right, because if they're doing something that they're not great at or don't like, then right. it's just sucking kind of mental energy and their enthusiasm. And, there's only yeah, so much of that, right?
Absolutely. We all have that same 24 hours in every day.
Right.
And I'd much rather use it doing things that only I can do.
And
for
if they
business.
Don't like it, they might be spending too much time on it when somebody else can knock it out in a short period
absolutely.
Of time.
Absolutely. I think that is especially true in accounting. It's amazing what a bookkeeper can do with QuickBooks, and the business owner sitting there going, I don't think I understand this. And they can read all the instructions again and again and again, but isn't it easier to have somebody who's paid
and this is all they
less?
Think about.
Right? Yeah.
And this is all they think about 24/7.
And they can do it so fast.
In 2 seconds, right.
She
it's
is so
fast.
Just singing your song. He is
exactly.
very big on the delegation.
I'm big on
yeah. Well, that's it's key to growth. It is absolutely key to growth.
So I got
to
know your experience, your perspective on the differences, if any, in working with men and women.
There are differences. And I would say that one of the biggest differences is that women aren't as good at compartmentalizing. And so our personal lives and our business lives intersect. They just do. And people are always talking about work-life balance. Well, in my opinion, there is no such animal. It's about work-life integration. And it's about priorities. And whether you're talking about, you know, how you get your kids picked up and how you meet with that important new client, you've got to figure out what those priorities are and what your highest and best good is and what's important to you. So it's a little bit more complicated. And I think very often also women forget to ask for help. We are so independent. And we, if we would just ask for help from our peers, from different service providers, from our partners and our spouses, life could be a whole lot easier. So,
which is kind of ironic because women are so good at collaborating.
Absolutely.
No, they really are. I mean, it sounds like a generalized statement, but that's been our experience, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that is one of the things I've seen really vividly in my CEO school for women is that group has developed into this incredibly tight organization where this is women helping other women and
right.
being real accountability partners, support teams. One of the women was doing a pitch for Shark Attack
right.
A couple months ago, and she was one of the finalists. And so the whole group went to support her.
Oh, that's great.
And we sat right in the front, and she just knocked it out of the park. And so we also really share each other's successes, mm-hmm. which is really lovely. And another one just had a big fundraiser, black tie event, and we all showed up for that. We didn't realize until we got there that we were actually extras for her reality series that is going to be launching in May.
That's fun.
We had to sign the releases and all that. But yeah, it really is phenomenal collaboration and support.
Now, CEO School for Women, can you talk a little bit about it? You mentioned it, but what exactly is it?
It's better than a school. it's not a school. It's a year-long business growth program for women who want to invest about 6 hours a month, really focusing and working on their business.
Is it for solopreneurs or is it for anybody that's...
It's really for business owners whose business, again, is past that startup, who probably have anywhere from 5 to 50 employees. Mm-hmm. Depends on whether it's sort of a service-oriented business or a product-oriented business. In a service-oriented business, there may be fewer employees and a lower revenue. But generally, the service businesses start at about $500,000 in revenue and go up to about $20 million. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we meet for a half day a month.
And in person?
In person, yep. As a group, and we actually have a multi-part. Well, actually, it's more than half a day now because we've actually expanded the time starting in 2015. They asked for more, so we have a 5-hour meeting on a Monday, fourth Monday every month, and we have a theme for that month, and we provide. Information to sort of help people learn something that is very important in any business. I also am privileged to have a faculty who are with me so that the business owner doesn't just get, you know, me and my business background.
Nancy 24/7.
That could kill people. But we have...
We should have a show, a channel. We could do a whole channel, Nancy 24/7.
Watch the hats change. We have a wonderful marketeer, Judy Knight, who
is... So what's the theme for January?
The theme for January is your 2015 plan.
2015 plan.
Planning is my middle name.
So there's homework.
Oh, absolutely.
So on the fourth Monday, people better be prepared.
Absolutely. We're going to, in fact, we'll probably work on that throughout the year because I actually believe in having a very active, interactive business planning process and that's going to be the foundation for our year. We work on a one-page business plan that connects strategy with implementation. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one of the things that I'm doing, whether people are in CEO school or not, is I also have a visioning and clarity workshop that I'm doing on January 23rd. And whether you're a brand new business and you don't have a good functioning business plan or whether you've been in business for a really long time, we all need a business plan. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be a workshop to come up with that one-page plan for your business.
And it doesn't have to be a 100-page thing that's going to sit on a shelf. You want something that you can look at every day, right?
Absolutely. And again, it helps when the plates are spinning and the phone's ringing off and you don't know which way to turn. You go to that plan and you look at what were those three or four things that I said I absolutely have to do in my business this year to be successful. And if those calls and those questions aren't related to that, you just hold the hand up and you focus. Because focus, I think, is one of the biggest challenges for any of us running companies.
And then do you break the plan then into 90 and 30-day increments so that you know that today
absolutely.
I got to be focused on this, and then that's going to have to wait till next month?
Absolutely. There's both annual objectives and then action plans that may be quarterly or monthly. And as those are achieved, they roll off. And others roll in, but breaking those annual objectives into bite-sized pieces is so important. It's also a way to introduce metrics. So I'm really big on the metrics piece and accountability. The one-page plan is all about alignment and accountability. And
so what are some of the metrics that a business owner should be paying attention to typically?
Well, what is your revenue? What is your revenue goal? And how are you going to break that down? And what's going to go into it? So you've got sales. You may have new customers that you want to track. How many new customers do you want to acquire? How many units of product do you want to sell? What is your profit and loss? What has it been? How much do you want to grow this from previous years? And so the what is in your annual objectives, and the how is in those action plans. How am I going to break this down and actually achieve the growth that I've forecast?
So do new clients sometimes bristle with this kind of thing early on? Like, well, I can't really tell because I'm just getting started. Or, you know, oh, I've been doing this forever. I don't need to go into that level of detail. I just want you to tell me I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
Do you run into either of those?
Oh, boy. Well, let me just put it like this. My first year in a C-suite, and that was 9 years ago, I did not meet a single business owner who had a written business plan. And it blew my mind because I come out of corporate. I can't, and I tell people I can't get out of bed without a plan. And my husband will tell you that's like true. He can tell when I'm like thinking of the daily plan. But I was really surprised. I think most business owners said, I have a plan, it's in my head. But there is such power in writing things down. And all of a sudden it makes it real. And I mean, it is almost magic. It really is. And so I encourage people to do that magic. I dare say that folks who are very resistant to this will not be interested in CEO school because sometimes they really aren't committed to growing that business. And I'm not about, you know, sort of giving people an excuse. That's this is for folks who really want to and put their head down and go for it.
Now, Tammy, you were nodding your head about written goals. Is that something that's implemented at SalesLoft?
Yes, I couldn't agree more. We sit down every quarter going into each quarter of the leadership team, and we create a one-page strategic plan. And what that has is one for the entire company, and then each division as well has their own one-page strategic
exactly.
plan. And on the company one-page strategic plan, we have revenue goals, demo set, sales revenue, churn numbers. We have marketing mm-hmm. inbound leads as well. And then each department has theirs. For example, marketing has unique website visitors. They have content score, how many blogs, how many ebooks, how much are we producing, as well as new inbound leads that we're trying to generate. And then, of course, as you mentioned, what I really love is that you have those quarterly priority projects, and on there we list no more than five to seven items that has our entire focus. And for us to be successful and measure our success at the end of a quarter is if we have checked the box on every single one of those quarterly priority projects. And while we're planning as well, we look at those and we say, oh, does this directly influence that or not? If not, well, then we need to move it on.
Absolutely. If focus is key.
It is really absolutely key.
So now for the companies that say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm in with you. I buy everything you're saying. And I'm going to write the plan. I'm going to do the plan. So now 90 days later comes, and some things I made, some things I didn't made. Where does the repercussions of those actions come in? Are people fired now? Or it can't all be unicorns and rainbows.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's another really important part of business plans and business planning. When you're in your first year really working with a business plan, it's more art than science. Mm-hmm. And you kind of don't know what right. numbers are realistic.
And you have to be comfortable with that kind of level of
100%.
Chaos.
And really and truly, as a startup, you have no benchmarks to weigh
That's it.
On where you are. So once you have been past Q1 and Q2, then you've got to take into account your holidays and the end of Q4. And that's all what comes into your forecasting is, especially with a startup, you don't have those benchmarks. So you really do. You look back and you evaluate how were we successful, the degree of us being successful, and how we can take that to forecast for the next quarter.
But then how do you know that Bob's doing a good job?
Well, that gets down to each individual having their own. And you know, once the business has that plan, then each person in that organization ought to have their own plan that focuses on what their accountabilities are. And it also works well as a wonderful performance evaluation tool because it is all about quantifiable goals.
Exactly. And Nancy, just to add to that is folks are most successful when they can be held accountable, when you can track their metrics and you can see what they are held accountable to. And we like to say it's not a job description, it's a performance profile.
Yes. I think that almost every employee wants to do well and wants to do their job, but very often they're not clear about exactly what it is they're supposed to do. And business owners say, well, I've told them, you know, 8 times. Well, that's not enough. Business owners cannot ever stop talking about the vision and the mission, and here are the company goals for this quarter. Here are the company commitments. That kind of communication never stops.
Now, but I'm hearing a lot about performance, but what about when they say, look, I'm here, I'm working 10 hours a day, I'm trying my hardest. Is it about performance or is it about effort?
Well, I think you really have to go in and look at it and say, was it a reasonable goal? Am I measuring the right thing? Am I providing the appropriate situation and support to make it possible for that employee to succeed? And again, not every business owner really is great at managing people. And I think that's another thing that they have to figure out pretty early on. Is that one of their highest and best goods?
Right.
And if it isn't, you know, there are lots of great COOs out there and they do that really, really well. So I think that sort of raises another set of questions.
So, Tammy, what in your experience has been the most difficult part of all of this for people to get their arms around? Is it making the commitment to get the plan together, or is it the sustaining it?
The collective goal is so important, and the transparency of those goals as well. We have those goals front and center. We have large screen TVs up in the office with those goals and where we are with those goals and everywhere we are. And it allows, we run the marketing team very similar to the development and engineering team on a marketing sprint. So we sit down and we plan out our entire week and we say, look, we have X number of points or these top priority projects that we want to accomplish this week. And it's a team goal. And for us to have hit that sprint or achieved those goals for those weeks, every single person in the team needs to have met their responsibilities, whether it is whatever their, you know, priority is for that week. And then that adds to the overall quarterly priority projects of the company. And that's how we measure success in the marketing team, is that everyone has that goal to lead toward, but it's not only individual. They are holding the team accountable as well. And that's how it drives the entire company.
And that's where the magic is, right? When the whole team is
you're either on the bus or you're getting left behind.
That's it.
and you don't want to let anybody on the team down.
Not at all. And that's what we are. We're team players and we're in it. And then if someone is finished ahead of their sprint, then we climb in and we help each other. Mm-hmm. How can we help you? That is a phrase I hear so many times a day. How can I help you? What can we do to help?
And that's a great culture when that's instilled from mm-hmm. top to bottom, right?
Absolutely. That consistency and alignment can make all the difference in the world. It really does. And I applaud you all for making that part of the company culture.
Oh, it is. It's a cultural inclusion.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You had me at flat screen. So, Nancy,
toys.
If I'm an exec, you know, and I'm listening to this, I'm kind of getting expired, a little bit inspired, mm-hmm. not expired, inspired.
Oh, gosh, I hope not expired yet. It's the beginning of the year.
About doing some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Where do I get started? What can I do first? Well, just to get a little bit of...
Yeah. It, you know, We're as far as
first
CEOs,
you buy a sales cool. loft. We've already
first
established
you buy
that.
A sales loft, then you go to Rainmaker.
First, no, first you've got to have school, that. Right? You got to have that plan.
Right.
Actually, we're having a couple of what I call discovery events this month. One is actually next week, and that is for businesses that may not have 6 hours a month to devote, and they really want one-on-one deep dive help and accompaniment to grow their business. And we have a new product that we're launching this year called the Value Builder System. And so we're doing a discovery event on Friday the 12th, Friday the 16th. I can't remember. It's next week Friday. I think that's the 16th. That is available at valuebuilder.biz. And also you can find it on Eventbrite. And that is a one-to-one advisor-led consultation that's 1 to 2 hours a month, and gives the business owner an online dashboard to really track what they're doing every single month to build and increase the value. And that's really about the future potential of their business. So that is going to be a breakfast meeting. And then on the 26th of January, we're doing a discovery event for CEO School. And this is for, again, women business owners who are in that second stage of growth and would like to have both a group as well as some one-on-one time with me to work on their business in 2015. The best way for people to find out about that is to go to ceoschools.com. It's also on Eventbrite. And what I've asked is that people who are interested in this, let us know ahead of time, because we'd like for them to fill out a very brief application and hopefully have an interview ahead of time so that we make sure this is a good fit. But that on the 26th, they will get to meet the women who are already in that program and who are continuing. And so they'll get a sense from their perspective what they have gained. But our faculty will also be there. We have an attorney, a CPA, and a marketing professional who are at all of the sessions. And so one never knows when something is going to come up and you're going to need to have an expert on hand. So we act a little bit like the board of directors. And I think it's a really wonderful group.
And your main website is csuiteadvisors.com if they want consulting.
Yep, absolutely. And actually all of that information is in there. All of our programs are in there as well. But csuiteadvisors.com, absolutely. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're everywhere.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you. It's always great to see you guys.
All right. And thank you, Tammy.
Thank you very much. Such a pleasure to be here.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.